Okay, I don't remember exactly where we're up to Novadia. It's been a long time since we learned it. I saw something fascinating tonight, which is a part we for sure already did. But it's very apropos modern events, and very interesting. In public love, said that it said no, not public love. The person was talking to Esav and saying, "Mechaman ochito Yaakov." From the the pasuk shot is from your inappropriate dealings with your brother Yaakov. The chaschah busha, you're going to be covered Esav with embarrassment. Nichrata lo'olam, and you're going to be destroyed forever. Okay, that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. So there is a very interesting sefer which I have called the Biuri Hachasidus Lanach. It's by a fellow named Yishai Chasida. Yishai actually is a contraction of his name, which is Yisrael something or other. But in any event, Yisrael Yitzchak Chasida. Yisrael Yitzchak Chasida. And in his Sefer by Mosar Rav Kook. And he says, brings down from a Sefer, I don't know this Chasidish Sefer, Paris Yosef. The only Paris Yosef I know is a Likut. I don't know if this guy's the same one. So he says, interesting shot. He says, not just from the mitzvahs which Yaakov does, will you Esav be embarrassed, but also from his dishonesty, from the averus which Yaakov does, you also will be embarrassed. Because even if Yaakov occasionally commits a dishonesty, his intent of committing this dishonesty is not to fulfill his desire and to enrich himself, but rather in order to have the wherewithal, in order to educate his children for Talmud Torah, and to have the money to be mekayim mitzvah, various different mitzvahs, which require a lot of expenses. And of course, at the end, he also does tshuva for having committed the dishonesty even for that purpose. So it's interesting, limud zchus on Klal Yisrael, that even when they commit their dishonest activities, they do it for the sake of fulfilling mitzvahs. Okay, so you can take that as not pashup shot, but interesting idea. So now I believe we are approximately, and again I'm not 100% sure, pashup base. Okay, so let's take it from there in any event. Avadia Perak Aleph, it's only one Perak, plus your base. So, Al Tere B'yom Achicha, B'yom Nachro. Do not see, but this is all talking to Esav. And as you said, you should not have seen your brother on the day when he was given over to Nachrim, to foreigners. And do not rejoice for the children of Yehuda, B'yom Adam, on the day that they were lost. And do not make your mouth great, enlarge your mouth on a day of anguish. So there are three parts of this pasuk, which seems to be repetitive, right? So why does the pasuk have three different things? Don't see a brother, etc. Don't be rejoiced over the children, etc. And don't enlarge your mouth. So I think that the pshat is like this. Your brother, of course, that's the relationship between Esav and Yaakov, and it's supposed to be an intimate relationship, a brotherly relationship. And that, you should, with your brother, then even at a time of, when he's given over to difficulties, you shouldn't stand by. But besides that, the Jews are B'nai Yehuda. B'nai Yehuda means they have this special role in the world, and as an ethical nation, assuming Ace of you're an ethical people, you should not have stood by while this nation is being lost and destroyed and undergoing whatever travails they go. And even if your relationship is not close, and even if you don't have the proper regard for Amisol as a nation, but still, you've been for Evachal Tismach. When your enemies fall, you're not supposed to be publicly jubilant and rejoicing, and so therefore you should not have When other people are undergoing travail, you should not be at that time boastful and haughty and arrogant as Esav is. Now, there's a fascinating medrash, really, in Yaakov Shimoni here in Ovadia. And it's been thought about a few psukim before the beginning of Ovadia, but it's apropos here, too, as well. The Yaakov Shimoni says, L'asi lavo, in the eventual future, Kodesh Baruch Hu danes Esav arasha, when Kodesh Baruch Hu judges Esav, my Esav osa, what does Esav do? What does he do? Mitzate petaliso. He wraps himself in his talis. Okay? He's wearing a talis, Esav. Revolve Yosef Esav Yaakov. And he comes to sit next to Yaakov. He comes to the base medrash. And he comes and he sits on the mizrach next to Yaakov. The Shanemai says, Vim benko chavim tim kinecha. If among the stars you put your nesting place. Benko chavim el Yaakov. And the stars of Yaakov, it says, Tarak, Chokami, Yaakov, etc. Yaakov Omer, Yaakov says to him, Achi, lo take a yitzibo. My brother, okay, this is still just his brother, my brother, this, it can't be like this. And he quotes another pasuk. So, and then it says that Esav goes down to ask a question. What that question is, we'll leave for later on. But the point is here that Yaakov and Esav both are on a level where it's hard to tell, to distinguish between one and the other. There is Esav comes in and sits with his talis next to Yaakov. So the complaint against Esav, that Esav is not being ethical and moral, it can only be understood in that context, because if Esav is not ethical and moral, then how can you say, he's of course, a boorish person, but he's not. Esav is not like that. Certainly, when Chazal talk about Rome as adin, as delicate, as polite, so they're coming to tell us that this is not the nature of Esav. Esav has a sensitive, refined nature, but that's superficial. Avraham Eli Kaplan writes in one of his essays, he says that Chassidus, it says that Musar, the Bali Musar, had a special appreciation of the Chassidim's capacity to cut through silly, superficial European etiquette. Now, of course, the way we look at that today, Chassidim are not particularly polite. But that's not what Rabbi Avraham Elia meant at all. Rabbi Avraham Elia meant is that the etiquette and is very often a very superficial mask. It's not like Musar, where you get down deep into the neshama and change. That's not what etiquette does. Etiquette is a way of convenience, a manner of convenience in relationships and public relations, but not something which changes the person intrinsically into a better or more refined person truly at heart. And that's really with Esav, what happens in the end is that deep inside we reveal that the core is corrupt, even though the surface seems to be very, very similar to Yaakov Avinu. Right? The same palace they're both wearing. Okay? So, again, Esav is being said, Al-Tag says, it's being said to Esav, you should be a Baal Mutzer. Al-Tag del Picha Biyom Tzara. Don't speak loudly, the way the Malvin puts it. Don't express the happiness that you have in your heart in your mouth, right? And this is talking about, says the Malvin, at the time of the first Korban, when the Esav rejoiced to see the downfall of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, here, too, is a very interesting medrash, which I don't think, even though the Malvin says something about the first Beis HaMikdash, I don't think necessarily that's the case. It says, "B'shar shikim Nebuchadnezzar Yerushalayim." When Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Yerushalayim, "Ba Esav Arasha." Esav Arasha came, "Va'amaz lomir rachok akasim," and he stood at a distance from the Babylonians. Meal, 2,000 amos away. "Va'amar," he said, "Va'ya horei kol mishnei amir akasim." And Esav killed everybody who was able to flee from the Babylonians. And then it goes, let me go on, I lost the place. Shemayom Amlecha Mineged, that says on a day you stood opposite. A Masai, when? Biyom Shvos Zarim Chelo. When other people, that the, that's the next, these children might talk about other people, the Nebuchadnezzar destroying Klal Yisrael. So, nevertheless, he's also, and it's Nebuchadnezzar's destruction. Nevertheless, Esav is being told, you should not be so complacent. This Chura wasn't yours, but Mayhem. But you also like them, you also want to be enumerated among the first destroyers of Klal Yisrael. And don't be happy at Bnei Yehuda, like, as our puzzle says. I wish, I'm happy. We see that Esav was happy. And do not lift up your mouth. He was standing and he was blaspheming. And then it skips the puzzle to the puzzle style, which we haven't seen yet, but it says, Valtamad al Perik. And don't stand on the crossroads. Shomei the Parsha's Drachim. So it goes on. But then the Medrash says a little bit further down about this perek, about this parsha's drachim. I tell most say you see when Nebuchadnezzar rushed to Yerushalayim Achriva, when Nebuchadnezzar the wicked one came to Yerushalayim destroyed, but Esav Arasha, Esav came, Vama parsha's drachim, and he stood at the crossroads, the Rikuk meal, 2,000 amas away, and the Kodashians have, we know, 2,000 amas, and it says here, Omar Esav Harasha. Esav said, Harani Omechan, I'm standing here. In Eresh Yisrael, Noyskim, if I see the Jews victorious, Omar Lesayeh, but I'll say, I came to help you. And if they vanquish them, Bavel, the Babylonians, so Fechani Varek Yisrael, and I'm going to turn around and kill the Jews. The Ruach HaKadosh Tavachas Al Tamar Al Berek. And the Ruach HaKadosh shouts out, don't stand at the crossroads. In other words, put yourself on the side of right, and don't stand, in the in that state of covering all your bases. Now, I don't think that historically, at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Esav was still alive. We know he was killed many years before. So it says Esav Arasha. Obviously, it's not talking about Esav himself. I'm not even sure it's talking about Edom. The Edomites, although the Edomites are known not to have come to Israel's aid, even though Israel appealed to them at the time, but I think it's referring to the concept of the idea of an immediate attacker on Am Yisrael, and then the person who holds back to see which way the wind is blowing. In other words, in this case, Nebuchadnezzar represents the first line of attack. Today we would say the Arabs or the Palestinians, right? And Esav represents the entity sitting and watching to see which way the wind blows. And again, as all the Mefarshim explain, we would say that represents the Christian West. So the idea would be that if things are going well for Am Yisrael, so the West says, well, we're with you. If things are not going well for Am Yisrael, so then they would exploit the situation. So I think today it's not quite as simple as that, but there is certainly in the world this nature that we have, which is that if Jews are doing either very poorly or very well, so then the people, non-Jews, will jump on the bandwagon and participate either in saving Am Yisrael because of guilt, or in pushing Am Yisrael to the brink because of the capacity to do so. But in any event, whatever the case may be, there is this claim on Esav, not that he was a frontline combatant. The complaint is you don't have to be a frontline combatant in order to be responsible. People who are so to speak in the back and neutral and waiting to see which way the wind blows can be, at least from an ethical perspective, perceived as just as bad as the individuals who actually do the direct attack. So this is Again, Esav here, I believe, is symbolic. And it means the enemies of the Jews who were not on the first line of oppression, but also, but stood by while things occurred. Now, it's very, very important for us to flip this for a moment before we go on, which is that it's not that the Jews get things they don't deserve. Let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Yom says, Al tavo b'shar ami yom edom. Don't come into the gate of my nation on the day of the downfall. Right? So, the Kohen Imam is going in the second Beit HaMikdash period. But regardless, I think what he's saying is that Yom Edom is the day of their destruction, which they deserve. Am Yisrael deserves their destruction. We messed up too. As a matter of fact, is we're being punished because we messed up. And other things are occurring to us at the same time. But we are being punished most directly because we ourselves messed up. So therefore, he's saying, you know, Am Yisrael deserves what they got. Perhaps. Indeed, of course, there are many reasons why Am Yisrael has had to be punished throughout the generations, for whatever reason. But the flip side of that is that Esav, you should not rejoice in that regardless of whether they deserve what they get or don't deserve what they get. It doesn't matter to you. If you are what you claim you are, then you should act appropriately. And the appropriate way to act is certainly not to pretend you're neutral in the face of evil, and certainly not to assist in the task of evil, depending on which part of the message we take here, whether that they actually came to help or that they were waiting back to see what happened. That is something which Hashem calls Esav to task on, as much as Am Yisrael deserves whatever they're getting. Hashem says to Esav, yeah, but you have your own separate issue here, which is your problem, okay? All these things you're doing, which are the inappropriate way to deal with Am Yisrael, with Hashem's assisting or directing their punishment, okay? So let's see Pasuk Gimel again. V'altova b'shar ami b'yom edom. Don't come into the gate of my people on the day of their downfall. Al-tere gam'altova r'aso b'yom edom. This reminds us of who? Don't see their wicked, their bad, the bad which happens to them on the day of their downfall. By the way, here too changes. The beginning of Pasuk changes from shar ami, the nation, to b'yom edom. And here Biyom Edo. And we're going up in levels and saying, the nation, you should not have come into their gates at the time. As a nation, a great nation, you should respect, so to speak, their decline and not participate in it. And you also have a personal obligation not to look and gaze with any degree of complacency on its downfall. So at the national level, there's also the personal level. So Rabbi Isai here in this pasuk, out to we have, I think, a very, very specific hint at the which the episode in which parsha is it? Which parsha is it? I think it's Vayera. In Vayera, where the wife of Lot is told not to look back. And she looks back and is turned into the pillar of salt. Why? Why? Because Asa is being told, don't think you're better. You're not. And therefore, if anything, you should look in this and see how you should avoid the same fate. But not, you don't have the right to look at it and say, complacently, okay, you know, they're getting theirs, I'm fine. And the pasuk concludes the pasuk Gimel, V'atishlachna b'chelo b'yom edo. Again, as we have the eight three times in this pasuk, but the last thing is that you should not send your armies. Okay, so beforehand it says, don't come as a spectator, right? Don't come as a spectator inside the gate, which symbolically means inside the institutions of the nation. don't look at them individually. And certainly, it goes without saying, that don't fight against them, right, with your armies. So that's one possible shot in the Chilo. The Rashi brings down from Targum Yonis and says, it means, Chilo means it's strength. And he means here that you should not loot the Jewish people just because somebody else has vanquished them for you. Okay, let's go past Yudal. About Tamar al Perek. So Rashi says here, the Perek is a place where people run away, flee from the battle. And Esau was standing there ready to kill. So at the very least, that if all things else you didn't do, so don't stand at crossroads, like this is place of, to destroy its refugees. And don't give as captives into their enemies the remnant beyond Tzara on the day of their travail. So the Malbim takes this pasuk as a very broad historical pasuk, so I want to read it. He says here, Aval, do not, Kopanim is a very serious ui, it would be suitable, Baal Tamod al Perak, not to stand on the crossroads, Lachis is a place to minister and eradicate the refugees. Baal Kopanim is a very serious, Baal Taz Gears Fidot. Don't give over its remnants. The remnants are not those who fled, but Asher Sardu Mehem Bar Tzecha, those who remained. But here, the mom says, not the remains in Eretz Yisrael. You know, they have that after Nebuchadnezzar, so Gabe and the Ghost, so still remnants, and Gedaliah was the leader, Gedaliah was assassinated, they have some Gedaliah, but that's not what the mom says it's talking about. It's talking about the remnants which remains in the lands of Esau. Those people remain in the lands of Esau, of the Jews. Baal says, get ever of an of, don't give them to their enemies, because they fled you from their master. In other words, where Jews go, let's say, are as an expulsion decree from some area like Spain, so don't give them to the Inquisition. Don't return them to that area, and so on and so forth. So don't give them back to their enemies. It also alludes that which the Esavites did after the destruction. Shetchila, Ro, initially they saw Ro Barat Yisrael, the bad of Am Yisrael. In other words, they saw Am Yisrael was sinning, and that's why their the land base was destroyed. The Mekatchkin Malim. But instead of coming to defend them, they prosecuted them. I assume that means they prosecuted them in a mystical way. And if Akash governed them, and once the Christians overcame, they expanded them with Nassim, and their faith spread. They started looting the strength, in other words, the properties of the Jews, all times. And then they went back even to destroy the refugees by the decrees and the expulsions. And the Shema, the fourth conversion. And then they killed the Moranos, the conversos, I'm sure. Started with the Sohom, remained among them. We give us some oats there, and they put them under imprisonment. The Mishma, then the justice. We knew the Kashim and destroy the hard tortures. So the Maimon says, this pasuk is not talking about just the short term, but this is the long term message to Esav. Am Yisrael is going to avoid his tongue. Am Yisrael, Esav, listen, Am Yisrael is going to be engulfed by you for a long, long, long time. No, it's not in your best interest, Esav, to treat them as a weak remnant, as refugees, as stateless, as landless. Treat them nicely. That'll be better for you. To what extent Esav actually listened? We know, but the Navi, of course, comes to tell us, Einon Shemel came as here, can't punish unless he warns, so the Navi is there to provide the warning, right? Now, on Pasuk Tezvav, he says, Ki Karov Yom HaShem. Now, of course, they actually thought at that time where that it was close because they thought that the second base Hamikdash would last. And they were not capable, they're not capable that time, it seems, of perceiving that there'd be yet another Korban. It could be that Avadia intuitively knew about the second Korban, but evidently not in an overt, conscious way. So he says, Kikrov Yom Hashem HaKovim Asher Atita. The day is close coming on all the nations you made. Kikrov Yom Hashem HaKovim. The name of the day of God, of judgment, is close on coming on all the nations. Kasher Atita, like you did, Esav. Yeosel Lecha. Yeosel Lecha will be returned to you. You get, so to speak, rewarded to the Jews, that's going to be rewarded back to you. Now, if I was a Rishon, I would say here that this is referring, could be referring specifically to Haman and Mordechai, well, because there we have this concept of, you know, v'nafochu, right, that things are turned around. What they intended to do was turn around back on them on Haman, and we remember specifically that he got something on his head. So it's Yashu Baroshecha. So in any, it could be that this Nevuah is talking about the short term, not just the long term, and it's referring to Esau, because Esau we know, and Amalek and Haman, it's all one entity. Perhaps Haman was even a descendant, as many people hold, of Esau. Okay? So, but the Parshas is not referring to that time of Megillas Esther. The Parshas are referring to the ultimate redemption. Kikan Pasuk 9 says, Kikasher Shesisem Al Har Kodshi, just like you drank on my holy mountain, meaning that you drank your cup of joy on my mountain, not paying attention to the great loss of the Beit Hamikdash, and in fact, even the loss also the Goyim, as Gemara says, that the Karbonas brought there were a great tzchus for the Goyim as well. But this is going to return back on you. So the ultimate day of retribution is the day on which everything goes back. And just like you drank on my holy mountain, you still go Goyim Domit. Everybody else is going to drink concerning you. The shots are below. And they're going to drink. And it seems like all the nations are going to drink, including the Esav and the ones that are making fun of him. And below, and they're going to get exhausted. It's an interesting term to use here. So the Metzudah says, it doesn't mean literally got tired. It means they would get confused, etc. And they're going to go back as if they never existed. Now, it's an interesting concept that the way they go back to not being is that they're low. They're exhausted from their wickedness. So it seems that it doesn't necessarily mean an elimination of the non-Jews. It's an interesting thing. It's almost giving us a takana, actually, for the non-Jews. In other words, once you ace up, they rejoice against you and they drink over you, then and they will then get exhausted. And then they'll be as if they didn't exist. And then, once they're exhausted, they can then start growing again from scratch. And I said that the Radak says that. The Radak says, "Will you call him?" Actually, I kill him. Mekama kill you. They're going to be eroded until they won't recognize their place and be as if they never were. But the idea of not recognizing their place for the non-Jew is a good thing, because the place where they act was a bad place to be. So therefore, could be in this kulala, there is hidden a bracha that even though they're going to be, the managers are going to be punished for what they did wrong, but nevertheless, there is this internal essence which is going to be survive that punishment, that affliction. And the Pasuk Zion therefore says, "Uvahar Tzion te pleita v'ayah kodesh." In Har Tzion, there's going to be a remnant, no matter what happens to everybody else. This is why the Second World War, when Rommel was about to conquer the land of Israel, Palestine at the time, so I heard Rav Herzog said it can't happen because there's no third goals. Once you have the people come back, the refugees, they're going to be holy, and they will be able then to turn around after they are restored. They are Yeshua based Yaakov as Morishayim. And then the house of Yaakov will conquer those who attempted to conquer them. So, the interpretation would be they're going to inherit those who intended to inherit them. But the idea is the same idea. Okay, now we're getting really to the major psukim of Avadah, the next four psukim, and I think we'll leave them for next week. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Whoever's with me? Anybody still there?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, so Yitzchak Hashem, we'll continue and finish Avadah next week. And everybody should have a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.
Good Shabbos. Pleasure, Rabbi.
Okay, bye.